being part of the branch today. Those of you that might be new or newer with us, welcome. And we just want you to feel relaxed and comfortable. That's part of why we do tables. It just gives us that kind of feel. And there's always food. So anytime during our time together, our gatherings, help yourself to some more food. Even when there's a teaching time or a learning time, we call it here, which we're going to be entering into. So just we're glad you're here. Make yourself at home. And we hope you return. If you don't have a church home, please come. We're simply a church that believes and goes by the Bible, and we want to know Jesus, we say, and make him known. And we say that we want to make him known to the increasing numbers of folks that live out here in the East County area that are uninformed, underinformed, or simply misinformed about who Jesus is. And so we're just trying to bring the straight scoop, you know, about Jesus Christ from the Bible itself. And so I found that I was underinformed at a certain place in my life in my early 20s after I'd been in church every Sunday since I was born. And I still was underinformed about who Jesus was and the whole understanding and core of Christianity to the point where I could, you know, share it with somebody else, make it known to someone else. So you might be in that same place as I was, or perhaps you're more uninformed or misinformed even. We're glad you're here. Because we're all in this journey together to grow and learn more about the God who created us. Not only did he create us, he loves us more than anyone else. It's really true. God does, as you get to know who he is in the Bible. That's true. And on top of that, he has a purpose for your life. I hope you believe that. If you don't, can I challenge you to investigate that claim? That God has a purpose. He has a plan for you, your individual life. I really believe that. I believe that the Bible tells us that. I believe that God wants you to know that. That'll help you direct your own life. It'll help you help other people around you that you love and care for. And so it's just a wonderful thing to get to know more about God through his son, Jesus Christ. We're going to do that today. I want to go to prayer. We're going to talk a little bit about prayer. I want to pray with you right now and ask that you would just enter into, and just those of you that would like to agree even with me in this prayer. Well, I'm going to just pray. We talked about Jesus last week being the healer. Jesus is a healer. The church, in one sense, is like a hospital. We're here not because we got our acts together, not because we're perfect, we have no problems, no sickness of soul. No, we're here because we can all get better. We can all learn more. We can all grow and have even a more fruitful life. We call ourselves the branch because Jesus is the vine, as he talked about this imagery of the kingdom of the church, of our relationship with God. He is the vine. We're the branch, like a grapevine, and we produce fruit. I'm the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me, remains in me, continues in me, and I in him or her, he will bear much fruit. And so if you want your life to be of the highest productivity, of bearing the highest fruit, not just for here, but on for eternity, that kind of eternal fruit, the lasting fruit, then we get to know Jesus and we plug into Jesus and we continue to learn of him. We don't ever arrive. We don't ever learn perfectly. We'll all live imperfectly. And so we need each other. God calls us to be a gathered people that would go out as a redeemed people to be about the redemption of the whole world. And he calls us to be part of that grand purpose. What an awesome thing it is. And so we're people here hurting, that there are numbers in here that might be hurting. You might have an illness in your body. You could have illness, we might say, of the soul. You might be dealing with some emotional or relational trauma. There's all kinds of issues that we can be struggling under. Perhaps there's a financial burden that you're carrying right now. Or maybe there's relationship issues between you and a child, or as you are a child to a parent. Well, this is Father's Day, and dads aren't perfect. You wish you had a perfect dad, and maybe you could, you know, but dads aren't perfect. There's only one perfect father, and that's our Father in heaven. So dads aren't perfect. Moms aren't perfect. Kids aren't perfect. No one's perfect. We all got our issues. We all got our stuff. And we're all at one place or another seeking more of God and healing and days in which we can be as fruitful as possible. So I just want to just call out to you and just agree with me as you can in prayer over just some healing of life right now. Oh God, hear from us. We come to you in the name of Jesus, who told us to come before you as a good Father in heaven, and to bring our petitions, our requests, to share, oh God, how we have need, and we would understand that you're the good God who has answers. So we just address you as the God that's holy and righteous, the God who has a deep plan for us, whom he created, that loves us deeply and desires the best for us as your children. And we know that among us are those that are suffering now, that are up against some unknowns and uncertainties in life. And we'd ask for your healing hand to be covering them in these moments and in the coming days. Would you, oh God, bring healing through the medicines and the medical profession. Bring healing, God, just as our bodies would respond to illnesses that might be present, or our souls as we need healing, that God, you would help us to have a peace of yours that would handle all any anxieties or worries. Would you settle our hearts when they're aching? So God, we lift these things to you, and I would just invite you, as you would have a plea or a petition before God right now, would you lift that to him silently between you and him, for yourself or for someone else, right now? Thank you, Father, for hearing the pleas of our heart to the God that loves us, the God that has healing powers to grant to us. And we trust you with our lives, not just here, but for that ultimate healing of salvation when you come again and we gain those new bodies and we live forever in a heaven paradise, which we can only fathom what would be like, but it is good, we know. For your promises are always good for us. So we pray these things again in the name of Jesus. Amen. And all God's people agreed and said, amen too. Thank you for that. Thank you for entering into a little time of prayer. Father's Day can be a great day. Sometimes it can be a tough day on folks. So again, go to God the Father, the great and good Father that we have. This dad fuel thing was just kind of fun, wasn't it? Because we, you know, yeah, we need fuel, don't we, dads? One of the ways I get fuel as a dad, I have five kids. When I get to communicate with my kids and my kids communicate with me and they share their hearts and they want to be close to dad, dads, doesn't that give you fuel? Talk about a high-energy drink on steroids, you know? That matters. So those of us that are kids that have dads alive, understand that. It's important to dad to get close to him, to let him hear your heart. Your dads care about you. You have a dad that's living right now, know that. You dads care about you, and they'd love to hear more about what you're doing, how you're doing. Don't let them, you know, make it easy for them to get that, because it is fuel. It will give them a boost. You will see your dad get more energized about life, because it really is fuel for living. Know that. We're in this series we call Know Jesus Better. We want to know Jesus better. I hope everybody would like to know Jesus better. I came to a place in my life where I thought I knew everything about Jesus I needed to know. I was unaware that I was underinformed. I think a lot of people are like me in that way. This was, you know, years ago now, my early 20s. I thought I had God figured out. Now on with the rest of cool things about life, you know, and there's all kinds of cool things about life. But I came to find out that, wait a minute, there's a whole bunch of things that I didn't know. I never studied this book. Now, I studied some books, right, in school and college, and oh boy, there's books you devour. You get to know a particular discipline or profession. But I didn't know about God very much, the creator of my life, the one I would answer to one day when I died. First comes death, then judgment. In other words, I meet my creator and I got to deal with what happened to me here and what I did and didn't do. And so to know Jesus is pretty important. And so we're about that here at the Branch. We want people to know him and know him better as we can. But I ask this question with respect to Father's Day here today and talking. How did Jesus get fuel? What was his big energy drink boost? How did he re-energize himself? And I asked that, and I thought, Look at this scripture, Luke chapter 11. We're in the Gospel of Luke through the summer. We're just kind of getting to know Jesus. One day, it says, Jesus was praying in a certain place. I've emphasized that on the screen there. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Just as John taught his disciples. Jesus prayed. That doesn't have to be a profound statement, but it might be to you. It was to me. At one time, does Jesus need to pray? I mean, we've already learned more closely that Jesus is God. The Word became flesh, that he's the very Son of God, and that he's the Savior of the world, that he lived a perfect life, that he never sinned, although he was tempted. He was weak in the body just as we are. He had stuff happen and he got sick and all that, but he never sinned. Why did Jesus pray? He did, though. He did a number of times, and prayer is all over the place in the Bible, and that's just talking to God. But Jesus did pray, and just in the Gospel of Luke, it records that as it came to pass, Jesus having been baptized and praying. Jesus was praying as he was being baptized. Okay, and then again, it says that a report from him was spread abroad as he was bringing healing to lots of people. Crowds were coming together. He was very popular, and he healed them of his infirmities, and he withdrew himself, the Bible says, after he'd done all this incredible healing work. And he was about in the desert and praying. He went into some seclusion and prayed. Jesus prayed. It says he went out to a mountain to pray, and he continued all night in prayer. I've tried to pray all night. I haven't made it yet, by the way, okay? I'm just saying, Jesus apparently got some energy out of that. He got boost for his life. He spent a whole night in prayer because there were some great needs. He was selecting his disciples, the closest ones, out of the crowd that was following him. Came to pass another place while he was alone praying. The disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" Jesus was praying to the Father, and then he prayed again. Where Peter, James, and John, he took them up to a mountain to pray. And he prayed at the Mount of Transfiguration. And then Simon was going to really struggle under a tempting trial. And Jesus said to him, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you like wheat, but I have prayed." Jesus said, "I have prayed for you." And he also knelt down and prayed the night before he was crucified. Jesus prayed. I want us to understand that, because we're to get to know Jesus in this series, and I'd hope you'd come away every time you'd come to the Branch over the summer here, and you'd say, okay, that is stamped a little more firmly in my heart about Jesus. Or that was a reminder about Jesus that was something that I'm glad I came and was able to recall better about who this Jesus is that I'm following. Or that, man, I discovered something today that I hadn't put together before. I was actually under-informed maybe about something about Jesus. And so hear this idea that Jesus prayed. I believe Jesus got refueled. I think he got energized. I think his life, he got boosted by the time he spent in praying to the Father. And I think that as the guys watched Jesus, they wanted what Jesus had. And you've got some kind of a connection to God that we want as well. John taught us something about prayer, but can you teach us about prayer? And so Jesus did. He would instruct them something here about prayer. What I would say is a pattern of prayer. How to address the Father and some themes to talk about as we would pray to God. And that God, as we would pray, that Jesus would encourage to pray. Make sure you pray and pray persistently. Keep praying. And understand this, that God is good. And what you pray for, he's going to make sure that whatever, however he answers it, it's going to be good for you. It's going to be the best for you. He's not going to answer something and give you something that's not going to help your life. And he's got the big view of our life in mind, doesn't he? He doesn't have the view of just this next week having the best week of your life. He has the view of having your eternity in mind. And so we can trust God as Jesus trusted him. And actually, think about it. As we would enter into prayer in our own private lives, as we would do it maybe with others around a dinner table or breakfast table, however you would enter in with other people, I believe that prayer will provide a connection to God in a personal way almost like nothing else. Now, we'll read our Bibles, and you know I nag you about this, don't I? Somebody say yes. I'm a nagger about reading your Bibles. I will be on you, and I'll nag you about it. Every month we put out this little calendar of Bible reading. Try to stay in your Bible every day. Read something, you know, and you're going to miss just like I do. But, you know, the intention and to just try to keep that and create a habit out of that. And we'll be close to God. We'll get to know God, know Jesus. But when we pray and we reveal our heart and we go to him with our soul, there's something about that that connects. And I believe, okay, get this now, just as I am energized when my kids connect with me, you think God the Father might get energized when his people, his children connect with him, and that he wants to respond with something good? All parents want to. God is like that. Oh my goodness, God is like that. Jesus taught this kind of pattern of prayer. We say some ideas on what to pray about. I want us to kind of consider that a little bit more today. And so Jesus responded, as they said, teach us to pray. And he responded with this. He said to them, when you pray, say. Now you'll have some notes there. You can look at the handout. You can look at some on the screen. And just follow along with what Jesus kind of commends. He's not saying, say a rote prayer, I don't believe. He's saying, pray these themes. Now, we know there are other themes that are prayed about in the Bible too. So these aren't the only things. Jesus is giving them, here's some ideas that matter in your prayer life that God would love to hear from you that helps us set ourselves up right in our relationship with God. So he says, when you pray, say, Father, some versions have, our Father in heaven, and over in Matthew, that's the way it's rendered, but here, in the way Luke brings it about, he says, Father, hallowed be your name. Oh, I love that, you know. We'll look at that a little more closely. Look at what he says the rest of it. Now, notice the four petitions that follow that addressing of God. Your kingdom come, 1, 2, give us each day our daily bread, 3, forgive us our sins, for we forgive everyone who sins against us, and 4, lead us not into temptation. Okay? 4 petitions. And we'll examine each one a little more closely. And so look at this idea of what we declare to God as we address him, how we acknowledge God. I think it's valuable. Father, hallowed be your name. You are holy. Your worth is great. You're due honor, and I want you should be glorified. All the credit goes to you. And we judge God when we address him right, as in a respectful way, as great, as the Most High, as the Almighty. Any of those kind of terminologies can give us a humbling posture of the heart when we talk to God. There's something valuable about that, and that Jesus even commends it. And as we see others in that pray in the Bible, and we see how worship gatherings started, like ours today. We gathered and we praised God in song. We lifted his name, we thanked him, we shared with each other. Sometimes songs talk to each other. We talk to each other about the greatness of God. Sometimes we talk directly to God in song, like a prayer, right? It's like, but we sing it to God. And so we are setting ourselves up to honor God in the time that we have by starting out with addressing him in that way. It's similar to where we would in our prayers, to just say, God, you are awesome in my life, and I just want to humbly ask you for a couple things today. You know, and you fit Thanksgiving in there too, and there's something about that posture of the heart in our petitions that serves us well. Now we know that there were those that knelt down to pray. Jesus did, didn't he? So there's a posture of the body that can serve us in our posture of our heart. There's something about when we get into a posture to pray that it affects us spiritually, affects our soul, not just our body. When the Bible uses this term of prostrate, getting down before God on your knees with your face even to the ground. There's something about that that right sides us with God, with our Creator. I think, try it, or as you have tried it, compare. I mean, this is powerful stuff. Just this, hallowed be your name. Your name is above every name. You are the God of gods, the Lord of lords. Anyone who would call themselves the Lord, you are higher than that. You are the Most High God, the psalmist said. Why? There's something about it that right-sizes us when we pray. And we're not coming to God with almost, I'm on the same level. I hope you can do this favor for me, God. Oh, do you like it when your kids come at you with that kind of thing? I don't. I prefer that they bring honor to me, and I'll give them anything. Oh, there's something about that that's right. Okay? We're the created. We're the creatures. He's the creator, the almighty God. He's the all-powerful God. And we're the ones that need his help. And he is the one who's so willing to give it as a father. Holy is his name. First petition, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. In another version of this, it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done. This is about God's thing, what God's doing on the planet. We see that first. We filter everything about our needs through the great design, the grand purpose of God and what he's doing on the planet. And you know what? He wants to use us in that purpose, in that plan. That's what God's trying to do. Your kingdom come. And it has come in one sense, of course. Jesus is the king, and he does reign over all who have placed their faith in him as Savior and live in obedience to him as Lord. His kingdom is here. It's represented in part by the church and in part by the branch church as part of the capital C church, or the kingdom of God on earth, of those who are following him, his people. Jesus is the king. He's the king of your life, and we are the subjects if we're subject to him. If we've honored him with our faith in him and we follow him with our lives, it says this in Colossians 1. giving joyful thanks to the Father. To the Father, we give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. My emphasis again. Look what it goes on to say. For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness, or the dominion of darkness, and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. Past tense, we're in this kingdom of Jesus as King. He is the reigning King over our lives. And it's represented that way into the kingdom of the Son, whom the Father loves, and whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let me ask this question. What's this kingdom like? If the kingdom is to come, if it's that important, what's this kingdom like? Well, it's like light, the kingdom of light, compared to the darkness, which would be association with evil. The kingdom of light is associated with what's right, what's good, what's best for humanity. That's what's in this kingdom. It's this kingdom of redemption. Redemption, if you note that. In whom we have redemption, this Son, our King and Savior, the Savior King. We have redemption through him. It's this purchase has been done through Jesus, which is this forgiveness of our sins. That debt has been paid by Jesus on the cross. He suffered and died for the sins of humanity, an offering. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, how powerful and important that is for our lives to understand it deeply. That's the central heart of Christianity. And so we're in this realm of living under the reign of this King, and we will share in the inheritance, which it says in there too. He's qualified us now as part of this kingdom to share in the inheritance of his holy people. This kingdom contains love, we know, as we read the Bible and understand more about it. It has this incredible, high, and eternal purpose connected to it. Beyond this life, surely involving this life, but beyond it, there's a truth which cannot be denied about this kingdom. Jesus came and brought truth. He was born to bear witness to truth, he said, before his accusers in his trials as he went to the cross. Is this kingdom of deep abiding joy, come what may on the outside, we have this deep abiding joy because no matter what, we've got eternity. There's a peace, a goodness, a humility, not a selfishness, an unselfishness, an others-mindedness, a kindness. We picture it like in the branch life of this idea of bearing fruit, by the way, to the Father's glory. God wants you and me to be productive for eternity. He wants us to have that lasting fruit. That's just this kingdom. God has designed an amazing life, friends, for us to experience in his kingdom. Are you experiencing it? I think you are to some degree, and we all are. But he wants us to experience it more and more. He wants us to grab a hold of it more and more. And as we follow Jesus, as we learn of the ways of God, as we align our lives with that, friends, we will experience more of the amazing life that God designed for us. It's our fall from that that causes the troubles in our lives. Obviously, if you're having trouble in your body, you can blame it on Adam. His fall represented us and brought about death and mortality and dying. All right? It's our own sin, our own personal fall that brought it about in an eternal way where we would undergo a second death or judgment after the first resurrection. And so we need healing from that, and God has brought that. So as we enter into that, we're into this kingdom realm that'll have its fulfillment one day when Jesus comes again. And the fullness of that kingdom experience, when all death is gone and there's no more sinners or those against God, the devil has been put away for good, there's going to be an amazing kingdom life experience. That's what we hope for. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's what all the ancients looked forward to. We still do today. This life, American life, the glory of all that you can experience It will not even begin to compare what God has in mind for you to experience one day. You need to believe that. You need to find that truth and bury it deep. Some people don't have as good a life as we do. It's easy to, you know, to think just about the here and now and not about the greater hereafter. But we got to keep our eye on heaven, what God has in mind for us forever. Kingdom life now, and it's good. There's love and there's care and there's all this. This is awesome. But eventually, friends, there's no comparison to where God has us designed to go. What we call heaven. It's a cool thing. Kingdom come. I just want you to think about this kingdom for a minute. Because there's a sense in which the kingdom hasn't come to all yet, has it? It's come to us. God's kingdom's here, but there are people that are not living in the kingdom. They're still in this dominion of darkness, right? And so we can pray, and I do this, that people in my life that I know are not in the kingdom, that the kingdom would come, that God's kingdom would come to them, that his will would be done in their lives, that they would have an awakening, a full informational, aha moment about what really is in the unseen world. That's the bigger one. And so pray, I would invite you, as Jesus does, pray that petition, your kingdom come, and maybe attach someone onto the end of that. Maybe attach it into your work environment. Maybe attach it into a school environment. Maybe attach it into your home environment. God, may more of your kingdom come into this home. May more of your kingdom come to my son or to my daughter or to my mother or to my father. More of your kingdom, oh God, could come into the realm of my life in what? Where you live. Why not? I'm going to give you 15 seconds right now to go to the Father silently and pray for his kingdom to come to someone in your life. Would you do that right now with me? Amen. I prayed for a person that I pray for every day that the kingdom would come into their life. Personally, I just did that again. It's just, why not? Why not, friends? God wants them to. Jesus is asking us to pray this petition. Let's look at the second petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Oh my. This is a hard one because most of us have a month's bread stored up. So it's real easy to not pray for needs as much. I'm just saying, at least that's the way it happens to me. I don't think about, my refrigerator's full. We have three more in the garage. What's going on? I mean, but there are people, friends, where that daily bread every day is very important. But let's not get too far from that in our own lives, because maybe we should be a people that have a lot of thanks for the daily bread that God indeed has supplied for the next 30 days, hasn't he? Ultimately, all things come from God. And so I would encourage our hearts in this one right here to give thanks for the needs that God has supplied, but beyond that, all the other things that we have to enjoy. God has supplied those too, and we have the privilege of being able to enjoy and steward them well. Could I invite you to just pause right now and thank God for something that is a need in your life that you are receiving, and maybe in abundance? Or thank him for, oh God, you've done all of that, but on top of that, you've done all of this for me, for my family. Thank God right now. Amen. Might encourage you, as often as you eat a meal, to give thanks before that meal. And then, don't just thank God for the food, but thank Him for maybe another thing in your life. But that meal represents actually a lot of needs that are met in our lives, a lot of extras that we get to privilege of being blessed by. Third petition, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And so, I want us to take communion right now. And I'm going to just step out here and see if I can. Yeah. So at each table, there's one of these little trays, mini communion tray. And I want to invite you to take a piece of little piece of the bread, the unleavened bread, and the little cup of grape juice. And at the branch, for those of you that are new with us, we take communion every week. Jesus said to do this in remembrance of me, because like all of the Old Testament people that followed him, they forgot. And we're followers under the covenant of Jesus. And I think God thinks that we're going to forget too. And for my life, it's true. I do forget sometimes. The central thing I can be thankful for, the central thing that God has done for me, is He's forgiven me of my sins. And when I take communion sometimes, I don't do this every time, but just so you know kind of how I do this, I sometimes will think about a particular struggle I'm having in my life. Like I'm coming across too harshly to a family member. Or I have this wayward thought that puts me in a bad place. Or something specific to you. What's a struggle to maintain and to overcome a sin? God, forgive me for that sin. Look at the scripture, what it says in 1 John 1. This is written to Christians like you and me. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if we name it to ourselves, what we know, there's others that we He is faithful. Look what it says. Look at the promise. He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So I just want to invite you, before you take the bread and the juice, think about something that, God, thank you for your forgiveness. Help me overcome this problem. Thank you for forgiving it. And then take communion. Now, before we go to the last petition, look what the second part of this says. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Most of us have, struggle with relationships in life. It can happen. And sometimes, you get a little bit more acute and heated. And is there someone in your life that you need to forgive? Someone that's messing with you. I just want to just pause and forgive them in your heart. It doesn't mean it's going to change the relationship altogether, but it will help your own heart to deal with things better. So I'll just pause and do that right now if there's someone. Amen. So God, our Father in heaven, is a giver. He gives us the kingdom life. He's a provider. He provides for our daily needs. He gives us a sustaining life. He really does. It all comes from Him. He's a forgiver of sin. And lastly, it says, lead us not. Jesus instructs, lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. So He's a protector from the tempter. God is a protector from the tempter. Look at a couple of scriptures where Simon, this was Peter, who was named Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan, Jesus said to him, has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, just like he did with Job when Satan brought all that trauma upon Job. He had to get permission from God to do that. He's demanded to sift you like wheat. It's not a good thing. But I have prayed, Jesus says, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Look at this other one recorded in John 17. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Jesus is praying to the Father. Don't take them out of the world. Because, it would be nice to be out of the world sometimes because the world has a lot of bad stuff going on. But don't take them out of the world where they're going to get persecuted, but protect them from the evil one. Jesus, by the way, is continuing to make intercession for us. Like he did for Peter, as we're living now on the planet, Jesus makes intercession for you before the Father. And I believe one of the things he intercedes for is this idea of protection. Now, I don't know about you, those of you that have kids, I spend most every time I pray for my kids, I pray for their protection. I pray, deliver them from temptations that they're going to have in this world and protect them from the evil one. So, our kids are closest to our hearts. And what happens to them happens to us to some degree. So, pray yourself for the protection from the evil one before God the Father. Help me with the temptations to do wrong. Protect me from the evil one, oh God. And then pray. Could I encourage you to pray for the young people, to pray for people that you know, protect them from the evil one? Could I ask you to do this? Would you pray for me that I be protected from the evil one? I would so appreciate that. I don't want to go sideways. I want to honor God and be the best shepherd person I can be for whoever God puts before me. I don't want to go south. And I know that I need the support of prayer from people. So Jesus, after he shares these petitions, how to address God in a way, and shares these petitions, he says, now suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, and this won't be on the screen, but this will be on your handout there, the bottom part of this. Jesus keeps instructing here. It's interesting. He says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine is on a journey, and he's come to me, and I have no food to offer him. Here's a real need. And he's out, but he's asking for some help. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything, dude. I'll tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, even if he's a good friend, sometimes our best friends are willing to say no. Yet because of your shameless audacity, this idea of uncomfortable boldness, a persistence beyond, just not reasonable that you'd keep persisting, but you keep persisting. What does it say? He will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Now, God's not like that. There's a contrast going on here, I believe. Jesus is saying, God's not like this. And if you pray and persist some, you probably don't even need to get it to a shameless audacity. This kind of, God's going to answer. God's going to give you what you need. And sometimes we don't know what we need. We think we know what we need. We need that brand new Ferrari, I'm being an exaggeration here, but sometimes we think our needs are, maybe that's not our need, or maybe that's not going to be good for us. And God has this whole life view in mind for us, and we're grateful for that. So Jesus says, I say this, ask and it will be given to you. You know that this is what is normal. Seek and you will find. If you seek, you're going to find those keys or whatever it is that was lost, right? The door will be open to you if you continue to knock. Everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will be open. Jesus is saying, pray. Pray. And I just know in my life, prayer is one of the most difficult things to do sometimes. It's just not my default. I don't know about you. So Jesus just encourages us to pray. Encourages that pray. And then he says this, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Well, that's crazy. If he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Of course he wouldn't. That would be harmful to him. If you then, knowing you are evil, in comparison, idea of know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit, everything that comes with the Spirit of God, to those who ask Him. The Spirit of God is our down payment for an eternal life in heaven, our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the one who has come alongside and helps us out in our life in every manner and every way. He lives in us. He's God in us. The Holy Spirit is the one who gifts us. The Holy Spirit is enables us and gives us a power to deal with sin in a better way than before the Spirit was present in our lives. If we ask God for the things of God, God will give them to us. They will be good things because God is a good, good Father. He's an amazing person that we want to fully engage in our lives. Jesus is saying this to His followers. I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want to bless every father in the room, and then we're going to sing a blessing to God the Father in heaven together as the band comes up and leads us in a final song. So please, all of you, stand. And dads, you've got an awesome responsibility. And God knows you can live up to all the responsibility you have. And He invites you to grab onto Him with all you have. Grab onto Him as a father. Grab onto Him as the Holy Spirit, God inside of you, to move mountains in your family, with your kids, in the environments in which He's called you to work. Oh God, would You touch every father here. Grant them a strength that comes with Your grace that would cover them as a father to their children. Would You touch their homes with Your kingdom in a greater way? Would You give them, oh God, the sense of calling that they have as fathers in their homes? Would You bless them, oh God, in any way that they need right now, protecting them from the evil one? We love You, oh God. Thanks for being so good to us. Thanks for Jesus teaching these words. In His name we pray. Amen. Following this song, we'll dismiss. Just after the song, we're dismissing, and there's more food over here and some... And we have these cards, right, the communication or connection cards. I just invite you to put them all inside of the planter pots. Thank you for your gifts and offerings. Thank you for being part of our Dad Fest Sunday. We just love you here at the Branch. Thank you for those of you that are here brand new with us. Sing out to the song. Let God know how good He is to you.